Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable cars and coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
You told me you love me. Oh yeah, Dr. John. You know, you told me you know what's good about this song? I was on the way here. I'll post a picture of, I lost my cigar holder, so I had my cigar in my mouth driving out to Zuckerman's here in Baldwin Hills. Look on Instagram right now, that's me. Listen to crappy electronic music, and then suddenly Spotify just spits this out. Dr. John, cold, cold, cold. Big tubby guy with a piano and real music analog. And I'm like, yeah, Dr. John. And you know, Dr. John has been around a lot of the shows that I've done in the past, and I never really got Dr. John, but today I got Dr. John. I'm going to turn that down. Just how clean. Listen to this. You guys can't hear it, but it's just drums. Piano. Just the basics. No synthesizers.
Where do you get Captain Beefheart?
Captain Beefheart. How are you guys? Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. Got a great show for you. It's Friday night. Woo. Johnny Lieberman's back. Zuckerman's here. That crazy kid Richard is here. If you're wondering if he's less crazy, he's more crazy.
He just beat you up.
He just attacked me, which I'm fine with. I have boys, I understand. And he's got a snaggle tooth. All his teeth have fallen out except for one that's dropped right beneath his nose there.
Yes. If you pull on it, you know what's going to happen?
If you get near his mouth, he'll bite your finger.
Yeah.
He's in that kind of mood tonight.
And is he going to shit everywhere?
No. He
didn't do that last time.
Yeah, he did.
He was eating jelly on the carpet.
Hands.
My poor son.
But here we are, the dumb dads, letting him do it again.
I'm going to shit myself. Let it be known.
Okay.
I hope you guys are doing all right. I can't tell if the world is falling apart or if everything's okay or if we're collectively losing our minds or if I'm just projecting. I can't tell.
It depends where you look and where you listen.
We got 3 years left, I think. I think it's all over in 3 years. I think it just
is that, or is that just an old man belief? Well, if you're stressed, at least enjoy our show for the next hour. Hopefully we can relieve that stress, because now I'm happy. I'm happy when I'm here podcasting. The week's let up. It's midweek for you guys and girls, but whatever. And we're going to talk about cars and whatever else pops into my head. And right now, I'll tell you what that is.
Yeah.
Edwin Castro. Do you know who Edwin Castro is?
No.
Okay. Edwin Castro won $2
billion. Oh, wow. That guy.
And
How?
What? He lived in Altadena. I forget. He had some regular working class job, didn't make a lot of money. He won $2 billion. And this guy, Edwin Castro, is doing it right.
Right.
He immediately bought two beautiful houses in the Hollywood Hills and a house for his parents in Altadena and was photographed. And it was reported by the Daily Mail, I think, who had it incorrectly, with his $250,000 new vintage Porsche, which to me just looked like an 80s...
Targa
911,
yes.
Which is worth, what, $60,000? Didn't matter.
Whatever. Yeah. Right moves.
Nice car.
This guy's making the right
moves.
He's
making the right moves, right? We're watching. We all dream of what it would be like to win a couple billion dollars. In reality, he won $900 million.
Well, that was the cash. He cashed out $957 million.
Yeah. And right? He immediately, like that fellow we were talking about last year in Monterey, this guy is immediately just upgraded his entire life. Bought a $20 million house that is absolutely gorgeous. He's got a nice vintage car. I would like Mr. Castro to come on the show if anybody knows Mr. Castro.
Yeah. Please let us know. I want to know if he's getting more of everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He's got a security guard. He like nice. Immediately just pushed the entourage button and just said, it is time to party. And that's what he needs to do.
That's right.
How old the guy?
He's young. He looks young.
30s or something.
No, even younger.
30s.
Oh. We're all living vicariously through this guy. I don't want him to spend all his money, but I do want to see him have a good time.
Well,
like you're
here's
saying,
the thing. Two $20 million houses, you still have $960 million left.
I think he just bought one.
Oh, okay.
But he bought a house.
The second one was the $5 million house.
Yeah, for his mom.
Okay.
But
the two houses.
It seems like every other day there's Edwin Castro news here in LA.
Yeah.
And I like all of it. And I want him to kind of stay out of the limelight. I think he should come on our show and we should talk cars because we can open up his collection for him.
I think you want to get rid of the bodyguard. That's not a good look. You don't need a bodyguard.
Yeah, when you got $1 billion cash.
He was walking out of the bank, so he needed the bodyguard.
Oh, at the bank, sure.
But,
sure.
You know, car choices, he bought a Porsche. He's one of us, I think. And I would like to start planning that collection with him.
We're going
to
help him with the cars and the ladies.
Yes.
He's Zuckerman.
Hey, Edwin Castro.
Well, don't you think that's why Edwin Castro moved to Hollywood?
And got the car. Yes.
Right above
the sunsets. He's
getting
the right moves.
Yeah. I don't know that that's the car that you would go out on a date on, but he's...
They come to me.
But he's definitely got the setup above the Sunset Strip. You know what that's like. You go down to Sunset. So you remember those days?
Yes.
You go down to Sunset in your Range Rover, usually, and you'd meet girls, and then you go back up to your house.
You pack the Range Rover with them.
Yeah, that's what we used to do.
Three rows.
I was always surprised that most of these young ladies had their bathing suits on underneath. Like they knew they wanted to swim. Maybe that was just the 90s, but it was not our
thing. They couldn't afford underwears.
No, it was a thing.
This guy's probably going to drown me.
It wasn't just the women. It was just everybody liked to go swimming in the summertime in L.A.
Sure.
So you'd go out and have a few drinks, come back and go to the pool. Go
swimming. I was around L.A.
Did you
this? I was not successful like you. At that point in time, I was unsuccessful. And I wasn't meeting anyone that was wearing a bikini under their clothes.
I can't say that I was really that successful. But I did meet a lot of girls that had bikinis on. And boy, by the way, guys, everybody seemed to have a bathing suit. I thought this was just California. You were always prepared to swim, either at the beach or up at the pool. Preferably, though, drunk in a swimming pool at 2 or 3 in the morning. I can't imagine how many nice families I upset with my horrible behavior.
Right.
But I know they're out there. And
I hope they're still talking about you.
I did run into one guy who said, asked me where I lived, and I told him the house. And he said, wait a minute, you're not right there. You're not that guy. And I said, yeah, that's me. Why? And turns out his client was a family man who lived behind me. And at the time, we were known for having bands over at 3 in the morning on Saturday night. And we weren't good neighbors. But
you had bad neighbors, too. Remember the lady with the dog?
That was a fun neighborhood. Yeah, she used to walk her dog onto our lawn to go to the bathroom. And then when she wouldn't pick up. When I called her on it, she just said, fuck you. I'm going to do it. She worked for ICM, I believe. Yeah. She was an agent in ICM.
I think Zucker was coaching her.
Yeah.
What do I say? You say, fuck you.
It was the first time that I picked up dog shit with a glove and threw it at someone's front door at 70 miles an hour. That was the first time that I did that.
What was the second time?
Her again.
Oh, okay.
Because she never stopped.
Right.
It was an empty pleasure. She wasn't there to enjoy it, but I remember I had a nice fastball with that one. It's funny, the second you leave Hollywood, those problems seem to disappear, Zuckerman. Again, the 405 for me is the politeness boundary. When you get on the other side of the 405, these people seem to be a little nicer. Little. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We're here.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you saw this. This is made for us, this story. Motor Trend.
That's us.
aired a roadkill episode with a man covered in Nazi tattoos.
Yes, we did.
Oh. Let's get him along with the other guy. Let's get him and Edwin on together.
All right, hang on. So here's what happened. I know a little bit about this.
Okay.
Yeah, this happened. It was roadkill. They were in Alabama. There was a dude who like ran a scrapyard or a salvage yard.
Including animals?
And he had like an SS tattoo, and he had like 13 and whatever, some other dumb number. Some, you know, 13's like the, you know, the 13 words about whatever. And no one noticed it at the time. It made it through the edit process. And then Twitter, of course, went ballistic on it. And then we took the video down.
It was, it's hard to believe that that made it through the edit process.
It's very hard to believe it made it through the edit process.
But, I mean, you could say that, you know, maybe people don't quite know what that stuff means.
Really?
It was a number.
I mean, the SS tattoo,
13,
for sure.
You know, the number 24.
That's like biker thing. Yeah. The 13.
It's
the 23. Hold on.
We're busy. What's up? No, come here.
Richard. Richard's first interrupt. Here it goes. Wait, let me tell you what was here.
Yeah, here we go.
A shield tattoo with the Nazi SS logo, and the numbers 14 and 23. The SS logo is pretty self-explanatory, but the 14 references a popular white supremacist credo, which happens to be 14 words long. I won't repeat why, because I don't care. A code of conduct for members of an Alabama prison gang, the Southern Brotherhood. Later in the episode, there's a long shot of another set of tattoos with a ghoul or a zombie that kind of looks like Hitler. How does it kind of look like Hitler, which has another partial SS logo on his face? So somehow this made it through.
How many mistakes do you have to, does Motor Trend have to mistake to accomplish this?
Motor Trend in Discovery, this is pretty big. Pretty big because, here's why, and Johnny just had to go take care of his son, but here's why I don't quite believe it. Tattoos these days have to be cleared when they're on the air. Johnny, did you know this? Go ahead, here, jump on. Whenever there's tattoo art or any sort of graffiti, it has to be cleared by a legal department at a network. You have to make sure the rights are secured, which would mean those tattoos visible might have to be cleared. So, and someone would look at it, a lawyer would see it.
This was brought up, and this policy has changed before this article came out. The policy's been changed. So yes.
What do you mean the policy's been changed?
Exactly what you just said. From now on,
in other words,
artwork. Yeah. Well, now we're. It was just never an issue. You know what I mean? It was just never an issue.
It's definitely an issue at Discovery.
Well,
which is your parent company.
Yes. Look, here's what I would like to say. You know, the I'm Jewish. The editor-in-chief of Motor Trend is Chinese. The CEO of Motor Trend is Jewish. David Zaslav, who runs Discovery, HBO, blah, blah, he's Jewish. Like, we don't, you know, we don't like Nazis at all.
Right. No one said you did.
Yeah. So, like, it was an oversight. It was probably, you know, the person editing, who knows what country they came from. They may not recognize what SS is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
What do you mean, who knows what country they came from?
I don't know.
Do you
did
have overseas editors?
No, but we have, like, you know, kids.
Late at night in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Somebody's editing?
I don't know. You know, they don't. Who knows?
Come on, Lieberman. You know, us
it's not people, your fault, Lieberman. You don't have to be.
People are supposed to have some brains, and you've just identified like a half a dozen Jews who let this slip past.
Look, it's a mistake. We took it down. They should have said, like, you know, we also denounce Nazism. That would have been nice. But aside from
that,
I mean,
implied.
this idiot. I saw this article. This stupid. They kind of imply that, like, well, they didn't say they hate Nazis, so maybe they like them.
Do you know when I saw it, how happy I got?
Well, yes, I know.
It's a perfect story for you guys.
Yeah,
he loves Nazi stories, and it's your network. I was so happy. I was like, let's do a whole show on this. But fortunately, it doesn't warrant that. Anyway, I wasn't going to even take that anywhere. You didn't even need to comment on it, Johnny. It's not your fault. Some other idiot over there.
Yeah, it was his fault.
You sure?
Blame Johnny. We like blaming him.
It's time to give a shout out to one of our favorite new sponsors in skincare, Caldera Lab. Backed by a leading clinical trial where 9 out of 10 men experienced healthier and visibly improved skin. What did you say, Zuckerman, when I walked in?
Said you look terrific.
Guess what? I have been using Caldera Lab. They reached out to me over Instagram. They couldn't have been more thrilled that they are on the show. And they sent me a giant box of stuff, which I began using right away.
How come you never share?
I've got it for you guys. Do you want it?
I'd like some skincare.
Okay, here's what. Listen to what I've done here. And I, yeah, and the I this is done? A little bit of a risk here that I'm going to say this, but last Sunday, both kids were out of the house. My wife called. She goes, "We have a rare afternoon with no kids. What do you want to do?" I said, "Open that box in the bathroom there," and there was a mask. And when I got home, she and I put on this Caldera Lab mask. Mud mask with volcanic ash and things, and we sat like girls on the carpet and did a mask, and my skin was amazing. I had never done one before.
Oh, you had Chardonnay. You gossiped.
We did. We talked like girls.
Did you but cry?
It was fun.
Was there crying?
No, but let me tell you.
Okay.
Inside this bundle, you'll get from Caldera Lab, the clean slate, the base layer, and the good. The clean slate is where you start your day. It's a balancing cleanser that uses gentle plant-based cleansing. This is something I had not been doing. Eric had been on me for about 10 years going, why aren't you washing your face? Now I wash it at the end of the day. The base layer, nutrient-dense, fortifying moisturizer that hydrates your skin. The good, the go-to at night, before bed, clinically proven multifunctional serum that helps your skin look tighter, smoother, and helps reduce visibility of wrinkles and fine lines. I've been doing it for 3 weeks. I have noticed a difference.
You didn't wash your face before bed?
No, but I'm usually showering because I play tennis at night, pretty much every night.
Okay, so that covers
it. But I didn't use a special facial cleanser and then have a routine at night, right? And part of the reason I like the Caldera Lab, not to keep belaboring this, but is it's quick. It's one or two products. It's an eye cream. It's a thing. You do it in the morning. Do a different thing at night. And I'm noticing a difference, and you guys should check it out. Get 20% off with our code SPIKE911 at CalderaLab.com. That's 20% off at CalderaLab.com by using SPIKE911, or you can go to CalderaLab.com/SPIKE911, and the code is already there. Check it out. No, but I had not been doing that stuff. But as you get older, Duncan, you gotta moisturize.
Yeah, you gotta take care.
Will it take off
the Nazi tattoos? They got a product for that.
All right, I know we're supposed to talk about cars, but I just want to address the 8,000 messages that you and I both got,
for the love of God,
about this possibly true, possibly not true story about a gentleman who put in a metal butt plug and then went to his MRI.
I saw that.
And then the magnetic resonance somehow shot
Burned it into a rail gun in his body.
First of all, Zuckerman, you said that lawyer is a real lawyer that has that case.
Yes. So he's a lawyer.
You can confirm at least that piece of the story. Does an MRI, is it that magnetic?
It's called a magnetic resonance imaging.
But hold on. I thought that just meant the magnetic waves would reflect off of
No. It's a magnet, and this is why you can't go in with certain metal hardware inside, because it will heat up and try to pull out of your body. Here's the part about...
Is it that strong?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So in theory, this could actually have...
It could happen.
There's always stories about somebody forgot they had a nipple ring or something, and it got, like, yanked.
Here's a couple of things that we...
Hang on. Hey, Richard, we're talking nipple rings.
Oh.
What?
Richard, you got to go poop?
Richard is at the door.
Okay.
You're still hungry?
What is he saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. I know.
What is he saying?
He doesn't want us smoking cigars. We're trying to quit.
Yeah.
Go watch
yeah.
Peter Pan.
That's how we talk?
But you're right, Richard.
Okay,
you're
I'll be right there in a minute.
We'll quit right after this.
I'm listeners, I'm sorry.
All right. Now, I've researched a couple of things, first
yes.
of all. I didn't understand why there would be metal in a butt plug, okay? So first of all...
Isn't that just a choice?
No, it was a rubber butt plug, but it had a metal core. Okay. And I don't think Mr. Butt Plug Wearer knew that. Now... They ask you, I've had a couple of MRIs, and they ask you.
I thought he was going to say I had a couple of butt plugs in.
I prefer porcelain, Spike. I don't know.
Okay, so we've all had MRIs.
Right.
I just had one on my knee. I know
and
exactly
so they
what
ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
And you got to be some kind of a weird joker to go there, to go to your medical appointment with a butt plug in, and then not say anything. They ask you.
Over and
they
over again.
They ask you over and over and
over
again.
Sir, do you have a butt plug in?
Yeah. Now, but the part I didn't know, because I researched this, I said, if it, what kind of a rubber butt plug has metal in it? But apparently, yes, that's they can have a metal core then.
Wow.
This is what we do as attorneys.
Why do you think, where does the railgun analogy come in?
Some idiot lawyer, I mean, like me.
I know what a railgun is.
The Trump guy thinks it's funny. Hey, we sit around talking. Why don't we, we'll call it a railgun instead of a shit missile.
And it went from his behind where? Into his lungs?
Up into his stomach, something. I will tell cavity. You.
And did, I, so do you think this guy, this no, was just his gonna, like...
There's no
or something.
Case. There's no
yeah, but what
case.
Was he doing? Why did he do it? Because he thought it would be fun? Something to do when he's in the MRI?
That's what I'm saying. I have no idea.
I don't know. This smells like a fake story.
I will say, when I saw it, I did immediately.
It smells fishy or it smells like BS? What is?
I immediately tagged Zuckerman when I saw it.
Okay, and then, yes, and then, now, please, listeners, about 1,000 people have emailed me this same yes. dumb story or saying, in case you haven't seen, I have seen.
We've seen, we've spoken about it, now we're done. We've put it to bed.
I can't imagine the lawyer filing this. He must have thought there'd be publicity, but he's turned... I think he's a laughing stock at this point.
Wow. There you go. Well, there was publicity.
But there is no case because, like, the guy shouldn't have had a butt plug.
It's called assumption of the risk.
Yeah.
You broke all the rules. You were given informed consent. You were given instructions. You... willingly, stupidly, negligently, for care of yourself, went in. And you realize, you put on the gown, the back is open, so I don't know what he's... they were supposed to... Is the lawyer going to say they should have seen it hanging out and warned him, hey, you've got a butt plug in there.
Why is there a feather coming between your cheeks?
I'm just trying to imagine Paul at the office, the way he dresses, like, you know, Googling butt plugs.
All of
that
us.
Seems just like a normal day at the office for him.
Fair. But, like, what's inside a butt
plug? Yeah, because
it's relevant.
To me, we were sitting around. Rubber with metal inside?
I never checked.
Yes, the construction. Becomes,
I just put them in.
Becomes
I don't,
an important
I don't
point
check.
For our education as personal injury lawyers.
Hey, I drove. I've been working on that Le Mans documentary.
Oh, you were hanging out with Lonnie.
Did a day of shooting with Lonnie Unser.
Yeah.
Who is the daughter of Johnny Unser.
Yeah.
Got a nice note from him after we shot. And we were up in the canyons with the cameras, knifing canyons above Malibu and talking about Le Mans history. And I was in a 996 GT3 from our friend Kenny, who's one of our listeners. Thank you, Kenny. Dentist, by the way. And I had not driven 996 GT3 in quite some time, Zuckerman, and I had forgotten how great a car that is.
Analog.
A couple of cars I want to talk about today.
And analog.
I always say I shouldn't talk about them because then they're going to start disappearing when we start.
I think anything with a GT3 is already.
Nah, the 996 GT3 we brought up before. And it's, you know, I'd been talking about it without actually experiencing it since I'd owned one. And I forgot what a great GT3 that is. What a simple, great, muscular GT3 that is.
And really special construction, if I recall correctly. So it seam welded, magnesium roof. Really, they made
the Mesger engine.
Yeah.
So the 996.1 was the first ever GT3, yep. And we never got it. And then
that was in 1999.
Andy's first car was the 0.2. So that car you drove is the first thing that Andy ever did at Porsche, or
right?
A Porsche GT.
And you feel it the second you put your hands on the steering wheel. You go, I am in something different. It's got a very thick steering wheel with two little nubs on it. And then you start moving through the gears and you go, this is really fun. And it's small now. I remember thinking that car was really big and now it's tiny.
I got a chance to drive the 0.1. They brought one out and it was funny because like it was you know, engine's phenomenal, gearbox phenomenal, steering great, suspension was like a little felt old.
Yeah. Well, that I was gonna say, coming down the hill at speed and with Lonnie on my tail, who knows how to wheel.
Oh yeah,
it was a little dicey. We were on a different canyon. We started up at Encinal, then we went somewhere else on a road I hadn't been on, which was just absolutely stunning.
Was it LA, right? Deer Creek.
Yeah, Deer Creek, yeah, exactly.
It's the most beautiful road in the world.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And the amount of rain we had, it was just a different kind of Malibu. Wildflowers everywhere in greenery.
Right. I went off-roading this morning. Like, California is just
it's gorgeous. Spectacular.
Gorgeous.
So we're just jamming on this empty road that had a couple of boulders, but nobody on it. So we're just having a little fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, with cameras and drones and, you know, you forget. You're shooting, and you're like, what could this possibly look like? And then Robert Dalrymple, who's directing, he said, hey, check this out. Start showing us these drone shots and these chase shots.
It's insane,
and
they were right?
Just delicious.
I got one of the best photos ever taken of me. Was I was in a 356 coming down, and it was a chase shot, and just the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
If you miss
like
a turn.
Like in December. Oh, you're dead.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful, but it just drops.
But Lonnie's the one you want. I mean, she was in my she was in my class at Pikes Peak.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She raced
Pike's
Peak.
She kicked my ass. Yeah, she really beat me good.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a question that I have for you. Is it in...
Say it on the
is
mic.
Is it in... Is it in the... Does it run in the family? Is it,
what's that?
Is it this ability?
Thing?
Yes, is it the ability to drive, the eye hand, the all of this reaction, the fearlessness? Is it an inherited trait?
Sometimes. I know many children of famous race car drivers that can't drive at all. But you know, you look at like Justin Bell.
Who was on last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing. They see dear old dad.
Yeah, one Le Mans, David Donahue. You know, Mark Donahue's kid. Like, he's a good driver. He's an
amazing
driver.
I think I remember Lonnie saying she remembered being at the Indy 500 with her dad when she was 2 years old.
Right.
One of her first memories.
But did any of the Unsers drive Le Mans?
Yeah, her dad did.
Yeah.
Really?
In a Corvette, I think.
Her family, though, I think her like great grandfather or something drove the first Pikes Peak like 100 years ago. That's how long the Unsers have been going up Pikes Peak. So it's wild.
So, anyway, that 996 GT3. Couldn't stop thinking about it. She was in a C2S, 98 C2S, last of the air-cooled 911s. And, you know, half the time I wanted to switch cars. And so you just, they were just two great 911s. I could not have been happier. What a day. It was just such a great day. We ended up shooting. I thought we were going to shoot for a couple hours. We ended up shooting from about 8 until 4. And we were in Trancas. They have a terrific supermarket there, Zuckerman. You
it's
go
great.
In there. Unbelievable food.
Yeah.
Yes, so vintage
just
market.
Basing out of there, drinking too much coffee, eating crappy food, and then
they
going
have
back
good
up.
Coffee. We gotta
oh,
go to the
man.
Coffee bar.
But everything.
Yeah. That's a big competitor. We should be doing cars and coffee up there again.
When you mentioned the suspension or chassis, the suspension of the 996 or the handling, do you think it's really antiquated?
It just felt a little less reliable in the front.
So you know Frank from Porsche, Frank Wiesman?
Yeah.
So when I drove the 996, then I drove a 4.0.
Right.
And
right.
I was saying, I'm like, man, there's a difference in the suspension. And I remember he looks at me and goes, there's a point in time when suspension changed. It went from old to modern. And that point was the 997. And it was like, very good point.
Yeah. But I didn't hate it. I just, I felt it's just not as capable as other GT3s. But that is fun in its own way.
But it's more analog.
Yeah, it's
and
way
it's,
more analog.
The shifter is, the one I drove at least, the shifter was just
shifters
so
great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there you go. There's a car.
That's awesome.
The other car that's been fascinating is I finally got time to drive Zuckerman's 1995 993 Cabriolet, a fairly unremarkable 911 cab that Zuckerman has been raving about.
That's
for
the
what,
one I drove.
6 months. Yeah.
That's the blue one I drove.
You got to drive it. I got it dyno tuned. You got to drive it. Finally, I drove it and I lost my mind. Zuckerman has created something here with TLG Marco, this dyno tuning. First of all, now I remember driving a 993 and I owned a 98 993, and this car has a flow to it like no 993 I have ever driven, right?
It's a magic carpet.
Forget cab or coupe. That wasn't what I was loving about it. You're right. It's a magic carpet of smooth acceleration and smooth shifting where, I've got that car with the point, you don't even feel a shudder when you're shifting gears and there's just flow to it. So tell everybody what you did to this car.
I'm going to start by saying
explain what dyno tuning is.
I'm going to say something really quick. And as you said, it's an unremarkable car, and I always thought a 993 Turbo would lack rigidity and would not drive.
You mean
well,
a cabriolet?
A cabriolet. 93 cabriolet. So I always just thought it was not a car I would ever want. So getting in that car initially surprised me that it was so nice.
Before you get to the dyno tune, because you let me drive it, and I was, it just felt brand fucking new. Like it didn't feel like it had a mile on it. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
But even new, it didn't drive like.
No,
that.
I know, but there wasn't a rattle. There was, you know, the, just a 30-year-old car. Yeah,
20,000 miles on it. Yeah, it's a good, great example. Black.
Okay, yeah. So what they do is it's somebody might call that chipping a dyno tuning. They take a new chip and they put it on a dyno and they adjust the air fuel mixture to get maximum efficiency out of it, because the chip that's in all 993s,
what does this chip look like?
It's an OBD1 chip. It's a little thing that plugs in.
Yeah, it's a computer chip.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what Porsche has to do, they have to take an off-the-rack approach, one size fits all, so that they get the best ride out of the entire world, because the world is different circumstances, you know, different environments, different gasolines. And so what the OBD1 that comes in the 993 is good. It's gonna be a good drive in all applications. But what we're doing here is we're gonna put a tank of LA gas in. We're going to put a full tank in there, and we're going to put it on the dyno, and we're going to adjust the fuel-air mixture for maximum efficiency.
Yeah, optimize it.
It's optimizing.
And what is the horsepower normally? 250 or something? Or
is it 250? It's something like, I think it's 256.
Okay.
On one of those cars, and you pick up about 12% on horsepower and torque. And so you do feel that, but more than anything, you feel how smooth the engine is.
It's a big upgrade in smoothness.
Right.
Like, really big.
If you turn on your regular untuned 993, it's going to go on. You're going to get a big dip in RPMs as it's warming up. It's going to be lumpy. When you go to step on the gas, there might be a little hesitation. None of that now,
no.
Right?
Yeah, zero.
It starts.
In fact,
it drove
better than the 98s that I've driven, which are different, right? Because those are VarioCam.
VarioRam and OBD2, so you can't do the dyno tuning quite as easily and readily. Is that right? Did I get this all right, Liebman?
It sounds correct to me. I was just going to say, I had a friend with my friend Dom had a 86 that he chipped, and it was, you know, just magic. It was like, this is what it should have been from the factory. And just, you know, just a little computer tweak.
It's like a tailored suit now.
Yeah, I called Zuckerman immediately and said, we have to corner the market in 1995 993s, because that's the only year that you can do it, right?
Well, you can do it, I think, between on vehicles like 85 to 95. The OBD1 system.
Yeah, I don't know when OBD2 came in, but yeah.
But Porsche is particularly... You can get a lot more out of a Porsche, from what I understand, when you tune it. For whatever reason, if you try to take a BMW of similar vintage, which is running an OBD1, you won't get quite as much juice out of it. The Porsches really respond to this.
So they
treatment.
Were basically showing up a little, you know, toned down. And now,
you know what it reminded me of? Like, just tuning a guitar perfectly.
Yeah.
Like having a loop.
Like you have a guitar, it's in tune, it's close, and then you put it on something electronic and you get it exact.
Oh,
that's
exactly
what it felt like. It's like, this car feels so exact. I wasn't responding to the bump in speed so much as I was responding to the smoothness smoothness of the acceleration.
That car shocked me, because 911 cabs, until recently,
who
like
cares?
Modern metal.
It's a big who cares.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look, modern hot, like really, I forget what they call it, very high strength steel is like, it's so rigid that you don't get cowl shake, but that one is like magic.
I got lucky.
Yeah, that thing's
been
like blueprinted.
I got lucky. I got it from our friend Paul Kramer at Auto Kennel, and it was...
We got dogs, and we got cars.
Cars and dogs.
At the Auto Kennel.
Dogs in the cars. They drive the cars.
He's a sweetheart. We love Paul. But I did tell him, I go, Kennel? Really? Kennel? Anyway. It's a great car, but I want to drive the other one now. So the other car is a 964, right?
Yeah, 93 964. So once again, it's very amenable.
And you're saying this, I'm going to have the same experience.
Yes. You're going to get the best 964 ride.
Okay.
Done. It's in the garage.
I have some issues with the 964. This is going to be good. Uh-oh, hold on. Here comes Richard again.
Uh-oh.
He's back.
He's just going to look around.
Oh.
Give him a cigar.
He's enjoying the view.
He's old enough. He's five.
Six.
So. All right. Let me do an ad while you talk to Richard.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to go poop in the pool.
My poor son.
Our next partner is Athletic Greens. And as you know, I take AG1 every day. Literally every day. Because I want to play fierce tennis. And I need energy. And I need my bones to not hurt after I play tennis. And also because I hate taking pills. I just want to take one pack of AG1 in the morning, which I put in water. And then get everything done all at once. You know, it's hard for me to keep up with that supplement routine. And it's also hard to trust that you know where your supplements come from and who to trust. But AG1 makes that so much easier. Very quickly, I noticed a lot of differences. Beautiful digestion. Great sleep. That could also be the tennis and just really ruining myself every night. Why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder in water once a day? AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better without having to do a lot. My AG1 is delivered to me every month, and it's been super easy to use and make a daily habit. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/spike911. That's athleticgreens.com/spike911. And there you go. You get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. There you go. We love you, AG1. And Caldera Lab. We got great sponsors right now. I'm really happy all the sponsors. All the sponsors are wonderful.
All the money.
That's good. He's going to jump over the fucking side of the hill.
Now he's on the other side of the pool.
Get him back later.
The dumb dads aren't even paying attention. Can he swim yet?
Yeah, he can swim.
Yeah. All right. Hey, quiet. We're doing a show over here.
I warned him like seven times, like, we're going to be working. Go watch Peter Pan. But no, this is...
Has he seen Peter Pan?
He's seen it 15 times, I think, is the problem. Yeah. All right. Hang on.
What? Yeah. Heidi, it's funny. So you're reading into what he's saying. He's asking, Jody. He's asking how deep the pool is.
Not tonight.
Did he say he could still pee in it?
No, be in it. He could be in it. Yeah.
You should pee in it.
Not tonight. Watch Peter Pan. Jesus. I'm sorry, boys.
Nobody cares.
Okay.
It's been quite a show already.
Yeah.
Okay. GT4RS is finished, Zuckerman.
Unbelievable.
I got the email from the guys from Mike in Florida, but it's still in Germany or wherever the hell it's done, but it was confirmed, done, finished. Now what? A boat ride?
Yeah.
Hopefully it makes it.
Yeah.
And what? A month, month and a half?
At the rate they're going? I have no expectations. If it ever gets here.
This was the car that was showing up in March, right?
It was supposed to be here in December. But,
okay, yeah.
But it's fine.
Right on. Schedule.
Whenever it gets here.
Whenever it gets
terrific.
Here, it gets here. We don't care.
Now, what about the Spider RS?
Oh, yeah, we got a call about that too, Zuckerman.
And?
That's a good looking
That's going to be killer.
And with a contraption roof to frustrate you.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
I think our friend from New York is getting one. And he as he told me that, was in a black Spider. And he said, I'm not sure what I'm doing about this.
Oh, isn't he special?
No, he was offering it to us.
Oh.
We want that. His crumbs, his leftovers.
I mean, those are some good crumbs. That's the Spider's.
I've driven that car. His black one is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's like another car. You just get into the Spider wherever you want. You're going to be fine.
So much.
It's a clicky, beautiful experience.
Because I don't know about you guys, but like to me, like GT4 is a very nice car, but the Spider makes it magic. And the GT4 RS is wonderful, but I bet you the Spider is like that level better, you know?
I don't know.
I bet it is.
Oh, God, Spike, we have a GT3 RS coming in. We've got this.
Oh.
You know,
ST?
I've been on a bit of a little spree. I don't know what to even say.
Well, hey, hold on. Okay. I wanted to talk about this, and I totally forgot about it. So, and Johnny, you can kind of confirm that.
Hang on, right. Richard's like climbing the wall.
He's putting his hands on the glass, which
is going to
make
Zuckerman
nuts. Oh,
God, is he wrecking the house again? Took me a month to put the house in order after the last visit.
It's just a little Windex.
No, tell him to get his. I just want to get his hands off the glass.
Oh, wait, now he's touching his butt and putting, look, and then putting his hand on the glass. Richard!
Hey, buddy.
Sit down.
I'm so sorry.
All right, Johnny.
Would you
hurry up and
put him in the car.
He's fine.
Like a dog. Can't we just leave the dog in the car? Richard can be put in the
you
car.
You used to have kids, didn't you?
They didn't do
this. This stage?
No, we didn't have that.
Really?
Dell was not a wall climber, you know, handprint lever, house wrecker.
I forget, but I think, no, my kids are really good, too. I yelled at them a lot, told them not to do things, and they didn't. But they, I had one used to cut up the sheets and stuff. It was funny.
Cutting up sheets?
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite story is when the lizard died in the toilet and they pissed on it.
Twice.
And then told you to get it.
Twice. That happened twice. And it usually is the harbinger of spring in my home when there's an animal in the toilet. But I think I managed to seal all the holes. You know what I wanted to talk about, and I wanted Johnny here. This information that came from the deep web. The dark web, is that what they call it? The dark web. I've got these sources now. Two or three of them, I don't know who they are. Some of them, sometimes I communicate information on the show. I'll go, this is somewhat reliable. This information came to me from a couple of folks. I don't know who they are or how they're involved in Porsche and didn't ask. But this person laid out pretty much every car between now and 2028.
Really?
Every new vehicle that's coming along.
Really?
And so I preface this. And I don't even know if I feel like now I have information that is going to ruin all the surprises. But I also don't know if any of it's true.
It's like
or
that
not.
Kid that gave away the secrets, the U.S. government secrets on his on his chat room.
What was the name of that guy?
Something weird.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of them. But I sent you the list, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of the order and the general year of every new Porsche model that's coming out between now and 2020.
And it rings true.
And Johnny, you're closer to the car journalism than we are. So
yes,
see if you can confirm any of this stuff, all right?
Okay, what are we talking?
This is all unconfirmed information.
What are we talking?
The June 8th announcement, he's saying, you guys are right, that is the ST. It'll be announced on June 8th.
Yeah, and the ST...
This is deep throat, but
my best guess on the ST is it's the GT3 RS motor, so the 520 horse with a manual, so the GT3 manual in a like 911R type body.
Okay.
So it's basically a 911R.
I have more news though. See if you've heard any of this stuff. And again, I don't know if any of this is true and I'm not going to stake my reputation on it. Not that I have any reputation left.
What's left of your reputation?
I don't care about my reputation if you don't know that about me yet. Somewhere this year, 992.2 is going to be unveiled.
Yes. And there'll be...
Have you heard that?
Towards the end of
this
the year.
Right.
Yeah, and it'll
Rennsport
be...
maybe?
It's
or
good,
before.
It's Rennsport's a good guess.
Rennsport reunion. Okay, 2024.
But I know a little bit about what the 0.2 will be.
What's that?
Hybrid. So everything.
Really?
So the base 911 will not be hybrid. The Carrera S will be hybrid, GTS, and the turbos will be hybrids as well. GT3s, of course, will remain naturally aspirated. So.
All right, here we go. 2024. A lot of news. Macan EV. Taycan facelift. Panamera facelift.
Yeah. All sounds right. Plus, Cayman and Boxster EVs are coming.
Hold on. I'm not done. I'm communicating what I've been sent by somebody. 2025, Boxster EV, all-electric Boxster.
Yeah.
We've seen it going around the track on the internet, right?
Yep.
2 years from now. 2026, hypercar. 2026, I'm going to repeat, hypercar.
Say it for, like a Frenchman. Hypercar.
Hypercare. Lufke Kult.
Hyper.
Now Casper wants me to go on his podcast. The Lufke Kult guy. Lufke Kult. Let me tell you how to say it. I am going to go on your show, Casper. Okay, but 2026, they're going to announce a hypercar, or it's going to be rolled out in 2026, which would mean some sort of announcement before then. What is that car? Is that the GT1 we've been hearing about? None of us know.
Yeah, that we don't know.
But in that same year, Cayenne EV.
Yes.
992 GT2 RS 2026 Ooh. Is the hypercar Cayenne EV and 992 GT2 RS. 2027, something called the K1 SUV, a seven-seater SUV.
I think that's coming earlier, but that is happening. Three-row for sure, yeah. Bigger Cayman.
2028. Can you believe that we are giving you this information right now? The new 911 model 994. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is why you've been listening to us for 5+ years. For this moment right here, if this information is accurate.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it is accurate, right?
It all rings true.
The only thing I've never heard anyone outside of this show really talk about is the hypercar. They're going to do one. They do hypercars.
Look at this message.
Yeah.
Deep throat. Now, anybody can type anything in a DM to Instagram, but...
Yeah. No, that's good stuff.
Maybe it's true. Look at that logo right there, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, so the...
What is that logo?
The Rennsport, they might show that 3-row. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about the 3-row. And also, the other thing about the .2, the Dakar, you might be able just to get any 911 as a Dakar.
Oh, God.
It's just an option. Because it's it's the front end lift, just up, and then they put one on the rear, and then they just leave them up. And then that makes it a safari.
AMC Eagle reappears. Yeah, 40
some odd
years later.
Do you think Porsche gets upset when we report things like this?
No, they love it.
They love it?
Yeah, of course.
Because that June 8th announcement got picked up all over the place. Our asses are on the line on that one.
I
have no doubt it's going to be announced.
I know a lot about the ST. I'll just put it like that. And I know someone who saw it. And says it looks killer, but it's basically a 911R. I think it might have the double bubble roof.
But see, a 911R is different than a GT3 RS. I hope
it is.
Want something that's better suited for roads.
That's what this is. It's
in Clearwater.
I know.
But again, it's the motor. It's a motor out of the GT3 RS with the manual, and I think it's manual only is what I'm hearing.
This is going to be killer.
And then it's going to be like a big, sexy wide body with no wings.
Yeah,
it's going to be 911.
It's perfectly timed for us, Zuckerman, because we've got two PDK cars coming in. It will be our second and our third, and we'll be in the mood for a manual gearbox. I always like a good manual gearbox when it's mated to a balanced machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fine. And you may not think that's who I am, but that's who I am. I don't like it when I feel like I'm slowing a vehicle down, but I bet you that ST is going to be a dream.
The 911R was a killer machine.
And if Zuckerman, if we make it to 2026.
I will, but I check out 2029. That's what I
think. You think so?
Yes.
We will get our first hypercar. We've got to do it. We've got to be in whatever that new club is, the GT1 or whatever.
110%. We cannot let our New York friend.
If the hypercar is all electric, will that upset you?
No, I'm on board now.
You are?
I'm on board.
The Taycan's made you a convert.
All of this stuff that's happening, when I see the future, I think it's the right time now.
I'm going to guess that this is going to be a hybrid.
All electric.
I think it's going to be hybrid. After driving that Ferrari 296 and just what a wonderful experience
that
was.
Isn't that thing the greatest?
It's the greatest.
We haven't talked about it, isn't it?
Yeah. It was the greatest. It was your idea. Yeah. I requested it. I got it. You were right, Johnny.
Yeah.
You were right. It's rare that I would say that. But that car.
Thank you, Spike.
Put it in the book.
Really was a dream. The best modern Ferrari I've ever
seen. And now we got to get Zuckerman.
I want to get the 296. I don't want a Roma.
I'm telling you, you would love the Roma's so you. It's
you
so
got to
you.
At least try it.
Okay, get it over here.
All right.
Well, you got to call. You got to text Alex.
Roma? Yeah.
And see if she'll send it over.
Yeah.
Have it dropped off here.
We can do that.
They're right in West LA.
Yeah. She's cool. She'll come out. She'll deliver.
What was the last Ferrari you drove? You had a 488, didn't you?
Yeah, and that's the last one I drove. And we had a 488. I drove it 2 or 3 times, and that was good enough for me. It's not a very good drive to price ratio.
I think that's why he's saying the Roma, you're going to like it. The 296 has a very stiff seat. Very, very stiff seat. It's very low to the ground.
Well, real quick, though, you were in the Assetto Fiorino.
Yes.
You weren't in the regular 296, which is much more luxurious. It has like a leather roof.
I prefer the Assetto Fiorino.
Yeah, I haven't driven it. But I'm telling you, the Roma is like, you know, like when a Turbo S is really good. Yeah. And it's like, I love, that's what this is. And then it's sexy looking. It's just like, you look at it, you're like, oh, the hips, like the, you know, the long nose, like, it's just, you know, everything Moise hated about it.
I didn't care about, I mean, the design was fine. I'm having
of
trouble.
The 296?
I'm having trouble telling all the Ferrari. They're starting to blend like blur, like McLaren's blur, but the driving experience was different.
It's the best.
It was different. And I enjoy a nice 488. I think that's a great car.
What's cool is, you know, the 296, they benchmarked the McLaren 720S, and now the McLaren 750, they benchmark the 296. So now they're swinging back the other way. Wow. So that thing's, I'm so excited about that car.
Nuclear war.
Amen. Bring it.
But you really stand out in it. That's the other thing. Even in LA, you stand out.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot of new Ferraris out there these days.
Hard to get. But there's Ferrari's doing so good right now. It's unbelievable.
They're all doing good.
Yeah, they are. Lambo, I hear the Sturato. I mean, I drove the Sturato prototype. It was amazing. And now everyone who drove at the launch the other day, they're just like, I was on Ferris show and he was just like, he's like, it's the best Lamborghini ever. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how I felt when I drove the prototype.
Did we feel this way 10 years ago when we drove these cars?
You were really taken when you first got that Huracan. That must have been 7, 8 years
ago.
That's
a perfect thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a winner. Then and now.
I mean, remember the 458, how like remarkable that was when it came out?
I haven't driven one of those.
Now, to be fair, I drove a Hyper Cheaty one that was chipped and had Challenge suspension, but still, it was awesome. It was like, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cars you could just jump right into. They seem to be just as expensive as they were back then. Pricing the 458 the other day. You get the special ones, they're up around $500 or $600 still. What's going on?
Inflation.
It looks just like the new one.
But like I had a Turbo S the other day and it was $230. You know, I remember when it was like fully loaded, $205. This was $230 with no options. We had like
Is it a cab?
No. It was a hard top. It had a nice interior, but like not that many options.
I should request that car.
Oh, it's good. It's really good.
Really, I know. Good. I've always loved those. They're great cars. That's a one car and done situation. Yeah, if you want one sports car, it's a Turbo S Turbo.
And it looks really good.
This one you would have dug because it was that agate gray, and then it had like just chocolate brown. I think it was.
That's a nice combination.
It was Cohiba or one of them, you know, really nice brown interiors. It was great.
There's a real metallic silver color. I don't know what they call it. And that's a really nice look on that car.
This is that one. It's like silver, but it has a lot of green in it. Yeah. You know, agate. It was just great.
Zuckerman has a new car.
Another one?
Yeah. It's every Thursday he's buying cars.
It's not the 356?
Nope.
No.
This car's white.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Tell him what you bought.
A 1971 911S.
Oh, yeah. Nice car.
In ivory. Yeah. A 2.2S in ivory. And what a fantastic car. You can see that car really takes you in the direction of the 73 RS. You see where they're going. That 2.2S engine is the basis of the 2.7 liter engine in the RS. It is so character filled in that 71, in that iteration where you got to get it to 5,000 RPMs and comes on cam and it starts screaming and the car is smooth. It's light. I need to do a little fettling on the MFI through Marco to get those.
Oh, you have to. Those are tricky.
They're very.
Once
finicky.
You get them, they're great.
Yeah,
you got to get them. You got to work. It's like a jeweler.
You will like this. The car is super dialed.
I own one. I love them.
It's super dialed in right now, and what it just needs when it's cold right now.
Yeah,
it's not running as good as it should.
Right.
When it's warm, when the engine's warm and the injectors are all warmed up, it really goes.
How does that front end feel?
You so
feel
light.
A big difference there, though. This it feels planted. My 70S was just planted in the front in the way that my 73T was not. I always preferred the 70S to the 73.
It's planted and it's incredibly light. It is a real delight to drive.
Yeah.
And I think I will drive it tomorrow because I want to get it on Sunset and feel.
It'll be hot tomorrow too, so it'll be good.
We're going to drive tomorrow, right?
Yeah, in the morning.
There we go.
That's what, you know, what's so great about, you know, the old stuff is that, you know, like the weather really changes how they drive. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Not just tires. It's like
a car like that. Yeah. If it's too hot, you'll have a miserable time.
But like, yes. Pat Long has this, it's like a, you know, it's like a 73 RS prototype, basically. It's like, it's a 72. It's a recreation of these four mules that were running around Vysok.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove it, and it was, remember, it was really, really cold, and I drove it that, and like, we couldn't get anything up to temperature, so it was, everything right. was rough. It didn't want to shift. You know, it was just right. like... you know, it was just kind of, it wasn't the greatest experience, but it's like, he's like, yeah, come back and drive it when it's warm. It's like, okay.
Well, that's why you have a big car collection.
Well, that's one of the reasons, yeah.
In general, a lot of vintage stuff doesn't get driven in the summer out here because it gets too hot.
Yep.
I always had one 911 that would have AC in it. I had a 73 911S, the Otis Chandler car, that had AC, only so I could drive it in the summer. And it still wasn't fun.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not fun.
Yeah. It's got to be the... When I commuted a lot from Malibu, when I was getting up at 6 a.m, that was fantastic in the summer. That was a good time. You could drive in the morning, drive home
right.
later at night when it was cool. Now, I had both of these cars in Beverly Hills, and I needed them ferried to the garage. The 71S and the 73RS. And my son, lucky young man, drove the 71 and was raving about it. And then he got in the RS. I think it's the second time he soloed in that car. And he can't get over how great that car.
I got to drive that. I've never driven a 73. I got to drive.
Oh, my God.
I got to drive. I know. I got to drive.
He said the same thing everyone says. It's fast by today's standards. It handles so great. It goes. You think you want to be somewhere. You're there. It handles telepathically.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It would be great to line up all of the moment cars. In our opinions, what we consider the moment cars, and show them because they really stand out. Like if you just went
like a
89, 73, 70S, 58 Speedster, just the cars,
right.
you would, I think folks who are new to the Porsche thing would understand how important it is to kind of stay in those zones. Because when you drive them, you don't forget. You go, boom, look at that.
Yeah.
It feels perfect. It's a moment, and then it disappears. 98. I was going to, you know, it used to be 98 C2S for
right.
me, but now this 95 has got my head spinning. A whole new thing just happened.
And you sold two of the 4.0s.
I know, that was
That's another one.
That's the one.
It's still out there. Everything exists. They go out there, they come back.
But when it comes down to it, if you asked me today, I would say 73 RS is the all-time greatest.
See, I think the best car I ever drove was that 4.0. I got to do like I think 50 laps in it at the Porsche Experience Center. So they let me do a second run, and just I couldn't.
What an animal! The thing is an animal.
It's just perfect.
It's just perfect. Yeah.
It's just, and you know, it was just after that. That was the end of 997. So just they got bigger, and you know, like
it's just a great sound, great shifting feel, brake, steering, everything's just
everything,
right.
Everything, yeah.
Just right.
Yeah, because they put a lot of race car into it.
Yeah,
like with the 73, there's a lot of racing. You know, it was like, you know, Vysok was involved heavily, and it's just I don't know, miracle of a car. I love that thing.
What modern has really stuck out like that, Sacramento? We've owned a lot of stuff. What do you think back?
GT2RS.
Oh yeah, GT2RS.
The 911R is a close. Very.
Oh, 911R for sure.
Yeah.
And 991 Speedster. I would.
Yeah. Oh, the Speedster.
Yeah.
The Speedster. But also, just the 992 GT3, just with a stick, is phenomenal. Like,
but, okay,
phenomenal.
Here's a question, because I had a Speedster. I had an R 991 Speedster, a 911R, and a GT2RS. I kept one of them. I kept a GT2RS.
Yeah.
If you had to revisit that decision,
if it was me,
yeah,
I would probably keep the Speedster.
Oh, you go R, he goes Speedster. But I'm with you on the R. The R was very,
first
very
of all,
special.
You can't go wrong with any of the three of those cars.
Right.
You can be very happy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I love the GT2RS probably more than the two other cars. But when it came down to the other two, I would say R. I go with a coupe over a cab.
It's just the speed. You know, it's the only convertible the GT division's ever done ever.
It's the greatest.
Yeah, and there'd be a lot more now.
And there's, you know, on Angeles Crest, there's this one corner, and I've driven 500 cars over this one corner, and it was the Speedster was the best.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going the fastest.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, when it's just magic and like
you get in a zone with that car.
Everything's loaded. And it's just a perfect, like, you know, the shift is perfect and the car's, you know, flopping over in the right way. And, oh.
The sound is right.
Everything. Steering.
Everything about it's that
perfect,
car. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So,
see, I think I'd go Speedster.
We just hyped the market in a huge way. Oh, 95s. Or look at that. Bring a trailer sale over there. A 95 911.
Boy, they not
$400,000.
They are dominating the market. There is nothing that's not on Bring a Trailer now. You name it, it's on there.
Well, there's a lot of investment in the car market right now for some reason, which is never good.
Do you think we'll ever see a Ferrari, a 250 GTO on Bring a Trailer?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. There's so few of them. There's like 33.
That would be hilarious to see that. But
why not? Why wouldn't there be?
Because those cars are so fussy, they get up in the big auction houses and everything.
I know, but
because the
why
thing
not
is,
do it differently?
Because like Gooding and RM, they, you know, start licking your butt when you list a car that's going to sell for $40 million.
Well, the 250 GTO club is a group of guys.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of billionaires. Of which Bruce Meyer calls himself the poorest billionaire. I love you, Bruce.
I mean,
he goes, whenever I hang out with these guys, I'm the poorest billionaire. He goes, I'm the poorest guy. And I go, you mean you're the poorest billionaire? Oh, I feel terrible for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I've only got a measly one.
I just remembered I'm the one who coined that phrase, the poorest billionaire. Yeah. Yes, the poorest billionaire. Bruce.
My point is
they kind of conspire. Whenever somebody's going to let it go, they talk about it. Like, be careful. And we know this a little bit with the Zagato.
Yeah.
Ben Clymer. Every once in a while, we'll call, hey, guys. Be careful. You know, we are the Zagato market. You know,
right.
If you're going to sell, somebody thought we were selling that car and we weren't. But he was, be careful how you do it.
But you're right, though. The 250 GTO is special money. Because I looked at him. He wouldn't talk to me. But one of the Walton kids who has two 250 GTOs.
That's a little piggy, don't you think?
Well,
considering there's how many in the world?
If you own Walmart, you know. But yeah, like they're a whole different species of wealthy.
Have you made any progress on this Rolls Royce so we can do the Rolls Royce show?
No, I haven't. I got to do that. I haven't.
Because we already failed on the Cadillac show.
Yes.
Zuckerman sold the Cadillac.
Yeah. Well, Rolls Royce is evergreen. They're always going to be in production. So
you got to find one.
Yeah. Oh, I can do that. I can do that. I just haven't. I've been busy. I've been out.
Zuckerman, you saw, I got a new neighbor moving in. I don't know who it is, bought a house down the street. But did you see what went sailing by my driveway?
Kind of Bentley.
All right. This is the second trip you're going to take to my Instagram. What else?
Oh, I saw it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
What Bentley
I came
mode?
Out
Can
in the morning.
It looks like, to me, it's either the, you know, it's a four-cylinder or a speed six from like approximately 1927, 29. It's the Le Mans era.
There it is. Look.
Yeah.
Imagine I'm just walking outside.
It's got a number on it, meaning it probably raced Le Mans. You know, could be a recreation.
And I went out there with my camera, and then this big guy comes out talking to the tow. Just, you got to back it in. You got to bring it in. And he looks at me and he goes, hello. I went, hi. And then he just turned around and walked away. That's my kind of neighbor. Doesn't want to meet me. Doesn't want to say anything.
But he's got a big Bentley.
Do
you have
But any... then I felt like, well, I should really get some cars in my driveway.
Right.
To show him that I also
arms
like
race.
Cars.
Yes.
No, I don't want to get an arms race.
You can put your Series 2 in there.
I felt threatened that he was going to be the new car guy in our shared driveway.
Well, do you have any affinity for cars of that nature?
Yeah.
Because I, you know,
as I get older, I'm starting to like that stuff. I don't know that I would ever jump in, but it seems like fun. That car looks like a lot of fun.
I spent way too much time like reading about the Bentley boys and Wolf Bernardo and Le Mans and all that. And I remember I was at the Paris Motor Show and they had like a old car kind of, you know, room. And I walked in there and I'm face to face with like the car. The first time Wolf Bernardo won Le Mans, the Bentley was sitting there. And I started crying. I just was staring at it, and I just started crying. Oh, great.
Are you mentally ill?
I am.
Why would you start crying?
Because it was, like, the car that defined... I'm mentally ill, Spike. I'm mentally ill. But it's like... It's the car... I forget who I'm with. Normally, that story goes over better.
You don't think it's a little hyperbolic?
I was crying. I just... It was just...
a psychotic break.
You know, you spend, I don't know, a thousand hours... No, I wasn't like whimpering. I was just sort of tearing up, like, you know. I really love cars. Leave me alone.
We all love cars, Johnny. It's okay.
We're all that mentally ill. Like, don't worry.
Spun, I don't know, man. Whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Well, let's end the show there. And Johnny's tears.
And as right, always. River of his tears, Johnny.
Richard, go get a pair of scissors and stab the couch.
That's it. We'll see you next week, Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.